Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Hey, guys, welcome to the show that's for you and about you. Your money start working harder for you, so you don't have to keep working hard for money. You want that freedom, the cash flow, the prosperity today, not 30 million years from now, but right now, to live that life that you love with those you love doing what you love. But on top of that, it's about creating a life of legacy, of meaning, of being able to bless people's lives, because as you're blessed financially, you can do the same of others. And that's the kind of ripple effect you're here to create. And that's the kind of ripple effect I'm here to create for you too. So welcome to our show, guys. Hey, appreciate you being here. I mean, remember, hey, give us a shout out, give us a review on iTunes. You know, if you say, hey, this show is awesome, give us a 5 stars. If you hate it, don't waste your breath. It's not worth it. So anyways, love to hear your feedback. Love to hear your reviews. Please do so. Really appreciate that. And by the way, check our website, moneyripples.com as well. Hey guys, quick shout out to our sponsor, American Homeowner Preservation. Hey guys, if you want to make a great rate of return with little money out of pocket, even as little as $100, and do it while helping other people as well, check these guys out. The website's fundingahp.com. The way they do it, they crowdfund money, people's money together to go and help essentially become the bank. They buy people's mortgages that are defaulting, people that are late on their mortgages. They help them refinance, stay in their home and or sell their home so that they can be in a better financial position. And the cool thing is that they pay awesome returns and they pay it monthly. And like I said, you can invest with as little as $100. So check them out. Websites fundingahp.com. That's fundingahp.com. Check them out. So today I wanted to continue on some of these states we've talked about, right? So remember I was talking about states that had like some of the maybe more rent-friendly states or renter or landlord-friendly states, right? Those that you might want to get rentals in or look at, especially as the future goes on, right? Well, now I want to talk about what are the most bankrupt states? What are the states that are in real financial trouble right now? Because we've always heard about California, but did you know that California has actually made a comeback since the last recession? But we've given, now granted, they're not that healthy, right? They're definitely on the lower half, but they aren't the worst state. So what are the worst states right now? What are the ones that maybe they're not bankrupt, because none of them are bankrupt right now, but which ones are getting close? Which ones aren't making it, and why? Like, what's really happening? And I think it'll be interesting to find out that there you can draw a few conclusions. So anyways, I want to talk about these states. So I found this on Barron's. I went to Barron's as well to check out what they had, and even U.S. News. Similar results, a little bit different ways. Now, when I talk about bankrupt, I don't just mean amount of debt. That's a part of it, but that's not everything. Because having the amount of debt, like California has the most debt, but because they have more people and they have a lot more GDP, you know, a lot more income and money and economy being produced there, it's not as big of a deal as in a lot of states. Now, by the way, California's around number 30 on the list. And almost any list, either of these two lists I looked at, they're right around number 30. Now, worse than them? Now, we're talking about some pretty bad stuff. By the way, this is actually inspired by one of my clients who is from this number one state. That's the number one bankrupt state in the U.S. When he brought it up, it made me go on to dig deeper. So, number one, Illinois. Those of you that are part of Chicagoland know that Illinois is not in good shape, right? By the way, with rentals, I tell people don't even try to do rentals in Illinois. Although there's some people that can. Last year, there was a guy on my show that actually talked about investing in Illinois in Chicago area and has done it pretty well. He's enjoyed it. But there's a lot of risk there. It's like a major big HOA if you're a landlord trying to rent in Illinois. So for investment purposes, I don't like Illinois at all. Well, from an economy standpoint, Illinois, most states, even California, right, have some cash reserves, like a rainy day fund that they always keep set aside just in case they go over budget. Illinois, it's got zero. They are the closest to bankrupt. They would be like, you know, an average American saying, I have zero savings left and I have a bunch of credit card balances. That's Illinois right now. So Illinois is the worst. That's the land of Obama, right? That is the worst state fiscally responsible on both surveys, whether it's Barron's or with U.S. News, both of them agreed The worst one is Illinois. Now, after that is New Jersey. So those of you in Jersey, right? Not doing well at all. Jersey's had a lot of issues there. They at least have a little bit of reserves, but they are definitely struggling. After that, we got Kentucky. Kentucky is another one of those that's been struggling quite a bit. Low cost of living, yes, but with high pensions, that's been their number one thing. And you'll see some of these states that are, maybe they're more conservative, or maybe they're kind of borderline liberal conservative. They tend to have, their biggest issue tends to be too big of pensions they have to try to figure out how to fund. They haven't set aside enough for those pensions. So Kentucky is another one. Pennsylvania, kind of in that same category. Big pensions, but also very weak, you know, kind of a weak economy, higher unemployment lately. So Pennsylvania is struggling. By the way, you'll notice that some of these Northeast in general are having issues. Like most of the Northeast, other than when you go to like Maine seems to be kind of this nice pocket, but most of the Northeast, the New England states are suffering, right? So Pennsylvania is kind of more Midwest to New England. Rhode Island is on the list. So Rhode Island's there as well. Connecticut, despite having some of the highest income tax rate for them, right? We talked about that last time, having high income tax rates or low income tax rates. They've got a pretty high one, but they've also got the highest debt per capita. So what's amazing, and I think of Connecticut, I think of Who's the Boss from the 1980s. I don't know if you guys remember that show or not. Whenever I think of Connecticut, I think of Who's the Boss and Tony Danza, right? And definitely a lot of people from New York have been moving into Connecticut just to kind of get away, get somewhere better. High prices, known to be affluent, but ironically, highest debt for state. So when it comes to state funding, definitely not doing a great job. They're struggling big time. Louisiana was another one, I believe, that had the big pension issues, but Louisiana's on this list. And Mississippi's on this list too. So those two states right next to each other struggling right now. Interesting that those two states struggling, but Alabama or Florida are not. So I'm kind of curious about that. Texas isn't either. It's just that little pocket. But they are struggling right now. West Virginia, known to be one of the most, I mean, along with like Alaska, right? One of the most socialistic states out there. West Virginia has been struggling too. So they've been pretty bad on that list. Kansas is actually on that list in the top 10 worst states, you know, most bankrupt or most fiscally struggling right now. This would also be creditworthy states too, if you put it that way. The interesting thing about Kansas, they're actually making a comeback. Here's the funny thing. The way that they're coming back is from tax cuts, not tax increases, tax hikes, tax cuts. And they're starting to make a comeback. And then the one I throw on the list, because they're all right around number 10, top 10 or top 11 or so, is Hawaii. And I actually think Hawaii is going to be one of those that we're going to hear more about, because as tourism has just tanked in Hawaii lately, I hope it makes a comeback. I really do. But tourism has been a big part of it. And since that's been really, in the last year, hurt so badly, I think Hawaii definitely needs to be on that list, because they're not doing well. They're also known to have a lot of welfare programs they're trying to fund as well. So now we got higher unemployment. As they say, about 17% of employment in Hawaii is dealing with tourism. Well, that's got high unemployment. A lot of that's been shut down. There's definitely some major issues there. I think we're going to hear more about Hawaii in the future. So those are the most bankrupt ones. Of course, leading the way, good old Illinois, right? Now, strongest. I was going to just do on the weakest ones, but I want to mention the strongest too, just to kind of see the contrast here. Number one is Idaho. Idaho has the strongest, most fiscally responsible economy. They got great cash reserves, just like number two, Wyoming, right there, tucked in there. You'll notice that there's a lot of strong economies in these sections, right in the Intermountain West region. So Idaho's got a strong economy. They're also growing as well. Wyoming's also great. Also remember too, Wyoming's one of the tax-free states, right? One of the income tax-free states as well. Speaking of income tax-free, number three, South Dakota, right? So we got South Dakota on the list too. And then even on the other list, it was like number two. So it's definitely up there for sure. But that one definitely came in pretty strong. Same thing. Wyoming actually has a lot of cash reserves. Like they have more than enough for a rainy day and then some. So Wyoming kind of had a nice little big boost there. South Dakota was big. North Dakota is also on this list. That was number four, but I just put the Dakotas together because they're both in the top 10. Utah, my state right here, in the top five, you know, four or five, depending on which list we're looking at here. Utah, mainly because they've got strong, steady economic and job growth, one of the highest unemployment rates, even during the last recession. So, and if you watch enough podcasts, or even if you've gotten into like the life insurance world or some other things, you'll be like, is everybody, all these entrepreneurs from Utah or what? They call it the Beehive State because everybody's running around, buzzing around like little bumblebees, right? But yeah, there's definitely a lot of job growth, a lot of entrepreneurism out here. Again, I wouldn't buy real estate here personally, just so you know. I think it's way overbought, just like most of the West is. Even Idaho's got a lot of issues there too, but they're strong areas. You know, if you're looking for a place that's pretty solid with their fiscal responsibility, these states definitely are it. So a lot of the Intermountain West, so Idaho, Wyoming, South Dakota, Utah, North Dakota, Nebraska is on this list. So Nebraska is also on there as well. Tennessee, how many times have you heard me mention Tennessee lately, right? This is one of the big reasons, but fiscally responsible, Tennessee is on the top, one of the top of that list. Iowa is on there too. Iowa is on this list as well. Virginia showed up on this list. I thought that was pretty interesting to see that Virginia made it on the list. They're kind of bordering, they're obviously getting down into more central Atlantic states versus the Northeast, but they are up there. Minnesota, they're on that top 10 list. I was shocked, especially because Minnesota has now high tax rates, especially on the rich. They become kind of a nightmare. I have one client right now moving from Minnesota across the border into North Dakota just to avoid all the issues that go along with that, because they want a state where there's not as many controls, a state where they can actually grow their business more freely. The thing is interesting, Minnesota was healthier. It's actually moving down the list now. And that's one thing I've heard, is those in Minnesota, and maybe those of you that are there too, it seems like since 2014, things have kind of pretty steadily gone downhill. So I noticed that Minnesota has barely made that top 10 on that list, but they're kind of working their way downward. So what can we learn from this, right? What can we learn from these states that are going bankrupt, you know, other than make poking fun of them, or the states that are doing well? What is it that's different? Now, I want to bring up a point, because many people will say, you know what, Chris, like, we need to move, especially in the last year. We've seen a bigger move towards government control, socialism, welfare programs, things to help save people. We've had stimulus checks sent out so often that some of you guys are becoming numb to it. You're just like, oh, great, here's another stimulus check. Yay. You're not even getting that excited. It's almost becoming, you know, hopefully that gets to the point where now it becomes an entitlement mentality, right? We don't want that. And the thing is, where's this money coming from, right? They're printing this money. It's coming out of your pocket one way or the other. So now you might say, take it from the rich, give it to the poor. Well, there's a lot of states that have done that. California is a great example of trying to take from the rich on the top bracket and giving to the poor. How are they doing financially? Are they great? How about Illinois? You know, how are they doing? By the way, I mean, some of these worst states, you know, when it comes to these tax brackets, like Illinois is actually not that bad, right? They're not too shabby there. But Minnesota, I mentioned them, they're almost got a 10% top tax rate. Oregon's almost got a 10% tax rate. You know, we've got Arizona at 8%. We've got New York at almost 9%. We've got Jersey at almost 11%. Remember, they're on the list of one of the worst ones. We've got, where else here? We got DC. We didn't mention DC too much, but they're on there. Connecticut is almost 7%. But they're the ones supposed to be helping people out, right? Well, what's going on with them? So we've got these states that have these high tax rates. Vermont's on that list too. I mean, a lot of the Northeast have higher tax rates, income tax rates for the state. Well, how is that working for them? You know, why aren't they the strongest states? Because if they're collecting so much in taxes, why aren't they healthier? Now, there could be lots of variables here, right? The way that, you know, politicians are describing how to spend money, there could be big projects are putting them into a big, big conundrum, right? But for the most part, what you've noticed here is that I'm looking at Illinois. That's a very liberal socialist type state. Jersey, same thing. Actually, anything in the Northeast. You know, Pennsylvania is kind of borderline there. It's one of the swing states, right? Kentucky. Now, Kentucky is more conservative. They just got really bad issues with their pensions. So that, I thought that was interesting, is that it's the pensions that are helping kind of ruining their economy a little bit. Rhode Island's on there. Connecticut. And like I said, highest debt is Connecticut. Now we got some, you know, West Virginia that's kind of on there too. We've got Louisiana, Mississippi, and Kansas. Now, these guys aren't as, you know, more on the conservative list. Again, just due to higher unemployment or some other economic shifts here. Hawaii, very, very liberal, right? And by the way, they got 11% state tax rate. So they're almost up there with, you know, California and Jersey. So we got these, but the strongest ones like Idaho, you know, that one's on the list. We got Wyoming. As I said, Wyoming and South Dakota are both tax-free. Tennessee was on the list, tax-free. Texas was on the list in the top 10, but they were up there, but they're on that list. You know, we got Iowa. Now, Iowa's got higher tax rates. for them. You know, Idaho has even got a little bit of a higher tax rate too. Again, it's not just about the tax rates, but notice that these are usually typically red states. You know, other than Minnesota now is no longer much of a red state, and Virginia is kind of in the border there. So Virginia's kind of more going to the blue side a little bit more, but most of these are red states. Well, what are they doing? Guys, you have to understand that many people think that the best way to make people prosper is to give them all an equal shot. And I totally agree. Now, how to give them an equal shot is different. When you get all these people that say, hey, we got to give all these money, we got to take from the rich and give to the poor, right? Let's make this equal distribution. By the way, whenever you take money and try to give to the poor, think of it like a pool, like a big, big pool, like a swimming pool, right? Let's take Arizona, because they're becoming more and more liberal all the time. Not more in the Phoenix and the metropolitan areas, not so much outside. But look at them, right? You got Arizona, you got a big pool there. Now, if you have a deep end and a shallow end, think of the deep end as the rich, and then the shallow end's the poor. What happens when you take from the deep end and you pour it to the shallow end? What happens to the water? It's going to rush right back and even out with the deep end, won't it? You take it and you take maybe a big bucket, dump in the shallow end just to try and make it deeper, because it's not fair that that shallow end's so shallow and they could be deep like those deep people. But notice when you dump in the shallow, where does it go? Right back to the deep. It goes in the same place. It does no good. The truth is, if you actually try to take from the deep and give to the shallow, really what you're doing is you're kind of splashing it across, and it usually doesn't not just end up in the shallow, but it ends up splashing onto the desert floor outside of the pool, and it just evaporates in the hot summer sun. That's what's happening whenever we try to take from the rich and give to the poor. Now, again, this is not just about tax rates and things like that, but when you have an attitude believing that socialism is going to work, that is when you're wrong, because socialism can never work. You cannot distribute evenly among people and expect it to work, because everybody has different stewardship. One of the big things you hear me talk about on the show all the time is about stewardship. What kind of steward are you? Are you a wise steward of the resources you're given? Right now, there's been so many stimulus checks sent out, and most people, what are they doing with it? The government wants you to spend it, but we're not. And funny enough, what would be considered a wise stewardship would be saving it, right? Which a lot of people are just putting into savings. Some are paying off their credit card debt or their other loans. That seems great on a personal level, and that can be important, but that doesn't really help the economy by paying off your debt. But what it, and by the way, the other surplus money is just getting thrown into the stock market or in Bitcoin, driving up the prices and overinflating them, right? That stuff doesn't help. That's actually doing nothing for the economy. Because by the way, if you're gambling in markets, that's even worse, because there is no strength that comes from that. The companies don't make a lot of money off that. Now, ironically, it actually does give back to the rich, because usually if the rich, they'll say, oop, good time to sell, take my profits, and then everybody else loses the money because they sold it high while everybody else, if they ever did get out, bought it when it was lower. So you're actually, funny enough, whenever you just try to throw money at people that need stimulus money, you're just really throwing it back at the rich people. And by the way, just so you know, I always wondered, like, why would Warren Buffett be so liberal in his views? Why would he want that? Why would we hear like guys like, like Bill Gates. Why are they actually supporting socialism? Here's why, guys. Socialism doesn't actually help the poor. It actually helps the rich get richer. Think about it. The whole reason that capitalism was created in the first place, capitalism was created so that people could actually have an equal, fair chance of prospering together. America was founded on this. They didn't want just the elites to get wealthy. They wanted an equal shot at being wealthy. If you're not so sure about that, ask somebody who's immigrated to this country. Why did they come to the U.S.? Why did they want to here? A lot of times it's for opportunity, right? And I'm not saying this is the greatest country in the world or anything like that. I think we have a great country. And I think there's a lot of issues with this country too. But I think it's also amazing that we created a culture for people to have this individual prosperity drive. We want to have this drive for individual prosperity. And that is what allows America, funny enough, to prosper and become so wealthy in such a short historical period of time. That is what made it better. What's actually making this worse is us trying to mimic other countries that are also broke. Because Illinois is not much different than France. And people are like, yeah, don't look at France. No, look at Sweden. Sweden's a good example of socialism. Let's look at Venezuela. No, that has a dictator. We're not voting in a dictator. Just so you know, you kind of did. You got somebody who put in more executive orders in a short period of time than probably any president in U.S. history. So congratulations, you got the dictator. And I already had an episode about that earlier, right? And by the way, I don't think he's an evil man. I don't even think that at all. But I do know that by their fruit, you shall know them. And if you see what's happening, you're like, this guy isn't doing anything to help boost this country. It's actually doing things to really throw money at stuff to appease people. But it's actually, it's just spinning your wheels, getting no real value. I personally think, like, I wish we would have had that tax proposal from several years ago when Herman Cain, I think it was, we talked about the flat tax rate plan. I think that would have been an awesome idea. Give everybody equal shot. I actually think if you want to incentivize people to prosper more, lower tax rates more on the rich and have higher tax rates on the poor. Now, that would not be a popular concept, right? Because they're like, no, you can't do that. We can barely afford it as is. Well, guess what? They just boosted up your minimum wage. They're talking about doing that all over the country, right? $15 an hour or more, because that's going to come up again, right? Well, guess what? We can just boost you up in the next tax rate. Ta-da! Congratulations, you just made it. You know, now we can tax you more and take from you. Even if you're at a lower tax bracket down there, still boosting up your income actually will boost up your tax rate. Congratulations. So anyways, my point is this, is that success leaves clues. Why are states that are typically not as big on welfare type of stuff, right? I'm not saying this is 100%, but if you're looking at the average here, states that are actually a little bit more conservative in their values, they tend to want to be more responsible with their money, and they're not just throwing money at people. That, now, by the way, all of them have welfare programs. Nobody in this country doesn't have that. We all got our own little mini socialistic type programs here. But notice that the states that actually are the most conservative, for the most part, are actually doing better. The other ones, the ones that tend to be most liberal, the ones that tend to say, hey, I'm entitled to more, right? And by the way, there are states that are conservative, like Mississippi, that also have a very big poverty mindset that also offsets things too. Think about it. Like all that stuff, there's a reason for this. You don't even have to think I'm right. I would just want you to sit with this and say, huh, I wonder why. Why did these states succeed more than the other states? And by the way, these states have been on the list. If you look at past years, some of these states have been on there for a little while. Like this is not the first time they just popped on there. They've been there for a while. Why are the more conservative states doing better economically compared to the other states that tend to be more liberal as a whole, right? What's going on? Does socialism work? In Europe, nope, hasn't worked. And they have not prospered. America did way better with our little individualist capitalist thing. This does not mean you steal from people. This does not mean that you're being unethical in how you make money. And there's people that do that in both governments, both types of economies. So just so you know, socialism doesn't mean that people are more definitely more kind-hearted and people are more benevolent. It's actually, in many cases, the opposite. Rich people love it when they have more controls. You can create more monopolies in socialism. When there's more government controls, even if it's not socialism, just when there's more government controls, you know, heck, you have the ability to crush your competition. You don't have as much ability to make gain. Those smaller companies try to make it. They can't make it. They can't pass through all these government regulations or it's too expensive and they fall by the wayside. And who remains in place? The big players, the big billionaires, the ones that are working their way up towards the trillions. They're the ones that profit the most from more government controls, not less. Now, if the average person, more people like you and me, even those of us that prosper and do make in the millions, right? Even us, we still want that ability to create more. We want the ability to prosper more. The more that a government says, hey, I'll let you do it, there still will be boundaries here. There still are laws. You steal, you go to jail, you get fined. You lie, you go to jail and or get fined. You hurt people, you kill people, you go to jail or die, right? All these things. These things are in place for a reason to protect your freedoms. But once the freedoms start disappearing, it's gone. So anyways, I wasn't really planning to kind of go this down far down the path, but consider the fact that maybe these states that are prospering more might have something to teach all of us. What if we start modeling them instead of trying to model the states that aren't working as well? So guys, that's my challenge to you, is to open your mind, be open to new possibilities. Some of you guys I know are already agreeing with this, but for those that maybe are kind of questioning it, sit with it. Sit with it for a long time and just ask yourself, hey, why is this happening? Guys, I want you to prosper. I want you to be those that actually gain and create more wealth. You're not entitled to any government money, but you're in a place where you are solid. You have a good, solid financial foundation. You're a wise steward of resources. And because you're a wise steward and because your wealth grows, now you can can be a better blessing in the lives of those that you touch. That is a ripple effect I'm here to create, guys. I want you to prosper as well. Make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.